I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to All Stats Aren't We, a podcast in which Leeds fans cast their combined eye over goings on at Elland Road, giving scrutiny to underlying statistics and tactical footings at work at Leeds United. I'm Tom Alderton and I'm joined today by Martin Riley. Martin, how are you doing, mate?
I'm doing good, thank you. I've had a disappointing Chinese for tea.
Oh, that's never good.
The place... No, as we changed the place that we had normally ordered from, because last time we ordered from them, it took like 2 hours to arrive.
Right.
So we wanted to try somewhere else. And this was disappointing for different reasons. So I'm not very happy because Chinese is usually my favourite takeaway to have.
Oh, really?
It's one that I've always enjoyed. Yeah, it's my ultimate. Just then curry just below that, like Indian curry just below that.
Yeah.
So I was quite disappointed. But I still ate it. It wasn't that bad that I couldn't eat it. Be quite bad for me not to eat food, but yeah, it was not impressive. How about you? How are you doing? What have you eaten?
I'm all right. Yeah, I would actually say Indian is definitely my favourite curry. I definitely prefer it. But we have a Chinese near us where they do this like £5 box where you get like salt and pepper chicken, rice, and a sauce, and it's like it's banging for £5. You get loads of it, and it's like good quality. So it's like good, like if you like just don't fancy cooking or. You like, I don't know, coming from football or something, it's good for that. But what have I eaten today? I had a roast chicken with some, it's like shiitake mushrooms are they called, if I'm going to be really precise, which are good. Well, I was just some roast potatoes. So it was nice, really enjoyed it.
Sounds okay. That's good.
Right, so this is a preview podcast and we are here today to preview the big game on Friday, which is Leeds versus Leicester, because... As we're currently recording, Southampton are losing 2-0, so we might be disappointed by the end of this podcast, never mind whenever you're listening to this, but it's potentially we could get it down to 6 points and be in the title race. We could also be miles behind and disappointed in the classic Leeds United way, but we will preview this game nonetheless and tell you what we think's going to happen.
So yeah, it's very, very exciting times. If you look at how much the table has changed since our bad run in December, since we lost on Boxing Day, and I think we'll have been around 20 points behind Leicester, something like that.
Yeah,
about that point. And if we beat them on Friday, we're 6 points behind. So yeah, that's just a testament to how good our run has been this year.
Yeah, because as we'll get into the minute, like, Leicester have been like fine. They've not been bad in the run. They've done like. Standard championship top of the table form, but just after our run of form's got us into it, and I'm definitely well more excited than I should be keeping myself grounded from years of experience knowing how that can go, but nonetheless I will get myself excited and be bitterly disappointed on Friday night,
most likely.
Right, we don't have an opposition fan for this because we kind of thought, I feel like a lot we've watched a bit of Leicester, probably more than with most teams this year.
Yeah.
So we had a good handle on them, so we thought we'd give it our own go. So,
indeed,
I've already hinted at this, Martin, but do you want to run us through their recent results and form and anything that might have changed recently for them?
So, yeah, the regards to the run of form, they've, like you said, pretty standard top-of-the-table performance for the last 10 games. They've won six of their last games, last 10 games, drawn two and lost two. The losses were against Coventry, that was away, and against Middlesbrough, which is at home. That's their most recent fixture, which was, I'd say, quite a bit of a shock. I wasn't expecting Middlesbrough to do that. But we'll talk more about how they got that done later. But yeah, nothing really major has changed. But slight change in what the formation is said on FBref. It's shown it's more of a 4-2-3-1 recently that they've been going with rather than a 4-3-3. So I think it does. I don't think it really changes the way their system performs. They still look to do the same things, but it's just the names that are on the sheet are being put into a 4-2-3-1 rather than a 4-3-3. Other than that, nothing really major has changed, and they're in still pretty good form for a team towards top.
Yeah, so it's what, yeah, six wins, two draws, two losses. So in a normal Premier League, a normal Championship season, that would probably just be churning them over at the top of the table. Is that is bang on 2 points mm-hmm. a game, isn't it? So it's kind of what people say to win the league. I will just looking for the XG for those results as well. So the Ipswich game, which was that on? That was around Christmas, wasn't it? I remember it being. Was it even Boxing Day?
I think so, yeah.
Rings a bell.
Might have been, yeah.
They actually only had put up 0.3 XG in that, and it was 1.1 against. So that was one they actually lost on XG, and then what they were 1.4 against for Coventry. So Coventry were 1.4 and Leicester were 1.1, so they lost that one. Then all the others, they have won, apart from the second Ipswich game, which they drew on XG. And it was also 1-1, so it's quite satisfying. But yeah, the numbers are still looking okay, despite the form maybe dipping from what the ridiculous levels it was earlier in the season, but still good form. Make that very clear.
Yeah, exactly.
I think one of the things maybe to note on this one is like off-pitch stuff, and I know we don't really do the intangibles here because we don't know how to deal with them, but there's been quite a lot of sort of, not criticism of Maresca, but I know there's been a lot, sort of like the fans are complaining about the style of play, saying it's boring, and there's been quite a lot of friction between Maresca and the fans, and I think that's probably more of a problem for Leicester at the moment than the way they're actually playing, because for some reason the fans, despite being top of the table, playing pretty good football, are seem to be complaining about it. So maybe one just to keep an eye on this one if they go down early, perhaps.
Yeah, it is definitely something to keep an eye on. For me, from when watching Leicester, I didn't see anything wrong with their style of play, to be honest. It looked good. They were good against Borough. But they just didn't create as many like good scoring chances as what Borough did. I mean, Leicester had 24 shots to account for their
2.1,
just over two just over two XG, and Borough had five. But of the shots that Borough had, there were two of those were big chances, and those were the two that they scored from.
Yeah,
so they can't really complain. And then I think late on in the game, Vardy missed the second biggest chance, so that was probably a little bit of luck for Borough there. But yeah, I still think Borough were quite good value for this win, and maybe definitely exploit some weaknesses in Leicester's setup. But overall, I do think that Leicester do play good football, and that's maybe they've got used to a unattainable level of performance, which the club couldn't keep up for the whole season.
Yeah,
because the run that was on towards the start of the season, where I'm not sure how many games it was, where there's unbeaten, but it was a lot, and it's never going to keep up in the Championship. It's not a league where you can go a full season unbeaten. You just can't do it. It's just one of those leagues where it doesn't happen. So, yeah. Take that as a warning to any league fans who are thinking that we're going to go the rest of the season unbeaten.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think there's perhaps sort of a reason why the results have dropped off as well, with teams maybe being less frightened of Leicester now. But we'll probably get into that a bit later when we get into the... we'll get into it now, actually. So we'll talk about the in and out of possession stuff. So do you want to start us off with the in possession stuff, Martin?
So yeah, so most of the season, like I mentioned before, they've played with a 4-3-3 setup. Recently, it's more of a 4-2-3-1. But that hasn't really changed the way I saw them earlier in the season. They've still got a 3-2 build-up structure. Fays and Vestergaard and James Justin are in the three. Well, Justin will invert from left-back to play as an outside centre-back, with Winks and Pereira, who's the right-back, inverting, playing midfield. And then further forward, you'd have Atawu and Mavdidi holding width on flanks. And they'd like to get the centre-forwards to drop deep to receive, to try to play a flick-on ball through to Dewsbury Hall, who makes runs from deep into the large space. So it's a very common move which they have, and one that's tried to generate. So if teams can stop that, that is a big thing that they can use to stop them from generating big chances, because they like to do these nice incisive through balls from deep wide areas through the middle, so it's sort of inverting from the outside to the player who's dropping deeper, and they do generate a lot of stuff that way. And then they also do like to use the flanks, although they do play quite patient most of the time. They aren't opposed to doing long diagonal switches of play to the player who is left in space, usually either Fatawu or Mavdidi. So yeah, they've got a lot of variation in the way that they play, and they can hit in transition as well when they need to, but most of their attacks are set up through inserted possession. And if teams are defending the box well, that can prove an issue to them. And also at the same time, because they're having inserted pressure for a long time, sometimes they can commit too many bodies forward, and that can leave them quite open in transition. But we'll get into that a bit later on for the next phase of it.
I guess one question I'd have following that is, when we played in November, they weren't able to keep those long periods of possession, which they're probably used to in that game. I think, were we the more dominant team in that game? It was probably even, if anything. But how would you say their attacking play varies when they're against teams who are probably more even? I guess we haven't seen that a lot, but what would you say to that one?
Well, I've not actually watched one where it has been more even. I wasn't able to find one where the possession stats were even. I would have liked to see that myself. And just to note, the game against us at their ground, they had 65% possession, so they were pretty, pretty dominant in that game, although it may not seem like it looking back, because we did really, really well in that match. But they definitely did have long periods of possession in that game, because we defended our box well and stopped them from generating the kind of chances they want. That's why they struggled in that game, and especially our possession approach was quite strong in that game. But they've definitely got players who can shine in transition when the opposing team is looking to keep hold of the ball, and they've got players like Fatawu and Mavdidi who are definitely dangerous players when it comes to transition, and also Baka, and even though he's knocking on a bit, Vardy is still very effective at this level. So they've definitely got a lot of dangerous attackers who can shine in transition. It's just that most teams don't look to keep hold of the ball against them, so it's not often that you do see it.
And what about the out-of-possession side of stuff then, Martin?
So they've got a pretty strong high press with the front four of usually Barker. Dennis Price, who's been playing the attacking midfield role since Cesar Fatiday, I think that's how you say his name, was brought back to Chelsea, I think. Or did he go on loan elsewhere? I'm not sure. Either way, he went back. He was the one who was playing alongside Dewsbury Hall as part of the 4-3-3. So that could be the reason why they decided to change up to a 4-2-3-1. And then Mavdidi. And so those four will pass from the front. Sometimes you'll get one of the big midfielders dropping in. And at times it's almost hybrid press, which they have, because you'll notice if the opponents are trying to build up through the back and they've got players dropping from the attack to aid in the build-up, you'll notice one of the lesser defenders or midfielders following them into deep areas. Actually, kind of similar to the way we set up against Leicester, which is quite interesting. I don't remember them doing any hybrid pressing at the start of the season when I watched them, and it definitely just maybe seemed like an adaptation which they've made throughout the season. I mean, it could have happened. I won't say I watched every single game of theirs before the last one. I did watch a few, and it wasn't something that I recall being present. And I definitely did notice it in this game I watched. So that's something which they do look to do, is to try to stop opponents from building up. But sometimes that can be exposed in itself, the players dropping deep, because what Borough did quite well was when the attacker was dropping deep, he would quickly move it on to a different player. There was one particular move, I think it was actually Lewis O'Brien who did it. Someone, a name which Leeds fans will be familiar with from when we almost got him a couple of times. But yeah, he sort of dropped deep and received the ball and quickly passed it on wide, and then quickly turned and ran forward after that. And so then there was just loads of space there, because Leicester had committed their bodies so far forward, and they've got quite a high line which to play, which can be exposed by attackers who are able to. And we definitely possess attackers who are able to penetrate that sort of high line. So that will be very interesting to see how they look to set up, especially at Elland Road, considering what we did at their ground. I wonder if there'll be any sort of variation to the way they approach things at possession. And I also noticed there's quite often a lot of space down both flanks for fullbacks to attack. So when the opposition is sort of trying to build through the third from deeper areas into the middle, There would be often space for overlapping runs from the fullback, especially when the ball is drawn from one flank, the other flank, then the attack, the fullback. Actually, coincidentally, in this game against Porro was Luke Ayling, and he was finding a lot of space. I mean, a lot. I mean, Luke isn't the player he used to be. If that was the same Luke from the Elton days, he would have done a lot with that space. He did almost create some chances a couple of times in the game, I will say. But if it's someone else, they really would have made less of play, because the amount of space he was getting was a lot. It was almost Jesse Marsh football-esque, which is
very on brand,
funny, because I was watching. Yeah, exactly. Especially because I was watching Borough play Leicester, I think probably while he was doing his Monday night football masterclass, I suppose you want to call it.
It was definitely on Monday night football. That definitely happened.
Yeah. Yes, he did. It did indeed. Oh, Christ. But yes, anyway, that's about how they look to set up our obsession, and I do think there is things to be got at in that approach.
Yeah, I guess we're not really as much as a crossfield team as we were under Bielsa. Like, we don't do that overload to isolate that we did under him. And I guess the wingers are quite, like, Somerville, and it'd be probably Nonto, won't it? I don't know. James is fit. Probably Nonto, though. They have a sort of, they come in narrow a bit more, don't they? So you might see, I don't know, Firpo or Gray doesn't really push on, does he? But, like, there might be space for someone in that way that there was for Ayling. You might see that. I think it's interesting what you say about there's been opportunities to get at Leicester, because it kind of felt, watching them earlier in the season, that they were, I think, saying better than their points total is probably maybe being a bit harsh, but it felt like if teams went at them, they were there to be got at a bit, and teams were showing them well too much respect as a relegated team. I guess they've recently come down from the Premier League, that maybe teams now are going at them a bit more and they're having a bit more luck, because those gaps that existed earlier in the season are still there, and their teams are actually going at them. So I think that's partly why we've seen maybe a slight dip in form from Leicester, that teams are more happy to go at them now. So I'm quite optimistic for this one as well, because I think that we should be able to get into those gaps that they leave quite well. I'd like to come back to what, because you said about them being quite high pressy, but also maybe they'll adapt to the situation where needed. So how do you guess they would approach this one, with it being arguably the other best team in the league? Because yes, they could go high pressy and make catches in build up, but also we could argue too good to play. We could play through them, and that could make them more open. So what would you say on that one?
I don't think Maresca is a sort of manager to suddenly change the way his team perform and how he wants them to play. It seems to be quite an idealist in that way, that he has a way that he wants to perform. He did make some adaptations earlier in his career, I know, from his unsuccessful spell in, I want to say, Italy.
Yeah, it was Italy, but I can't remember the team.
Yeah, I can't remember the team either, but yeah, he had a pretty unsuccessful spell in his first club, and obviously he's improved on that at Leicester, but he doesn't seem to be the sort of manager who would just suddenly make a massive change in the middle of a season to the way he's been playing for most of it. So I would still expect them to be pretty high-pressing, and maybe not as intense, and maybe the line drops a little bit, but I don't think it'll be any major changes which would potentially worry us, and because it's difficult to do anyway. And if you do make big changes like that, you're not sure if your players are going to be able to perform to it and be able to enact a different style of play in such a short turnaround. Because, yeah, it'll have about 4 or 5 days of training, but that's not really enough to make sweeping changes to the way a team sets up. So I can't see anything drastically different from them.
Which players do we need to look out for from Leicester? I normally say good or bad, but I think in this case it could be mainly good.
Yeah, it is mainly good. They've got a lot of talent in their team. I mean, you could go from goalkeeper through to attack, and it's filled with a lot of good players. Their goalkeeper is probably the best goalkeeper in the league, Hermansson. He's forming well above his goals allowed at the moment, and a goalkeeper who has definitely rented a lot of goals for them. So he's definitely a good player. Ricardo Pereira at right back is very, very good, and much too good for the Championship. Fies, and I think that's how you say his name, but
yeah, Fies.
He's also very good. Probably the only chink in their back line is Yannick Vestergaard. He's probably the only player of theirs that I don't really rate. He seems to be a weak link in the games which I've seen. Not really with his on the ball stuff, that's reasonably good, although not the best in their back line. But definitely out of possession, he leaves lots to be desired for his, especially physically, he's not a fast player at all. And I think we've got a lot of players who will be able to unnerve him. I mean, in Borough game, Finn Azaz left him behind in the guts. And Azaz is a good player, but not really that fast. And he was left behind quite easily. So yeah, he's definitely one chink in their armour. And then all the rest of the players going forward are good. I can't say anything bad about any of them. Dewsbury Hall is probably one of the best, maybe the best attacking midfielder in the league on his day, because he can both set goals up and he can score them. And he's also a progressive monster, so he's a very good player. Tawu is the player who's the only player in the league who has more big chances created than Jorginho Rutter. So that really does tell you enough about the player that Fatao is. He's very, very good. Mafadidi is a big goal threat for them going forward. And maybe the only little thing in their attacking lineup is Daka hasn't been the most efficient in front of goal this season. So he's one of the few who is running short of their XG this season. So he's maybe the only one who you'd want a chance to fall to, maybe say it will be him. So expect a hat trick from him, basically, is what I'm saying. But yeah. They've got a lot of good players in their squad, basically.
Yeah. I'm just going to run through a predicted lineup now because we've basically done that already whilst we're here. So, like I say, Hermansson in net, centre backs are Vestergaard and Faze, and then right back is Pereira, left back is Justin, a double pivot of Dewsbury Hall and Winks, and then it's Mavadidi and Fatou on the wings, with Pratt playing like centre attacking mid, and then Daka up front. There's obviously variations on that slightly, but that's best guess at the lineup. I think that started the Middlesbrough game, didn't it, that one? Yeah,
it's mainly, the main change that you could see is maybe Vardy for Daka. I think that's the only one that we're likely to see, unless they've got any injuries that I'm not aware of.
Not that I know of, no. I guess Vardy does have a very good record at Elland Road, doesn't he? So, maybe, I mean, that doesn't normally play into these things, but it's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Before we move on to how Leeds might approach this game then, so what does the data say about their season so far, Martin?
So yeah, just looking at them, obviously they've got some very good stats for the underlyings. They've got 46.41 XG from open play, which is the best in the league, and they've scored 49 goals from that. So as a team, they've slightly overperformed by 2.2 goals. So not a massive overperformance, that's pretty par for the course, I'd say. And then the set play XG is 6.93, and that's quite low, actually. That's the third least set piece XG in the league, and they've scored 8 goals from that set piece XG. So I don't want to say that set pieces won't be an issue, because if we're Leeds and teams love a set play goal against us.
They've got good players that can put in a good delivery, so maybe their XG is inflated because of that. They probably don't have as many, but I guess they are attacking teams, so they should have more set pieces, but maybe they don't approach it that way.
I don't think it's something which is a core of what Maresca wants to do, and most of their XG comes from open play, so they don't have any concerns. It's just generally they do finish the chances in open play, so they don't need set pieces as much, I think.
Yeah, see, I think there's, I guess those numbers may be misleading, but also not, you never know.
And then the other side of things, but set XG against, they've got 20.47 XG against, which is the second best in the league. And I'll let you guess whose is the best XG against in the league in open play, Taldo.
Is it Leeds?
It is Leeds. Nice. So we are running at 19.12 XG against from open play, which is pretty incredible, to be honest. That's a very low amount for this point of the season. Leicester isn't far off, but ours is better. So have that one. And
it could be 0-0 then, is what you're saying.
Quite potentially, yes. Quite potentially. And then the set piece XG is quite interesting. They are in the bottom half of the table for set play XG against. They've conceded 10.74 set play XG, which is 8th worst in the league.
Okay.
So they do ship quite a lot of chances through set pieces. And from that 10, they've conceded 10 goals. So that's a pretty large amount of goals from set plays. Say they've conceded 16 goals in open play and 10 from set pieces. Yeah. And just to give clarity to that, we've only conceded 5 set piece goals this season.
It's not very Leeds, is it?
Seven. No, it's not. And that is actually the second best in the league, wow, is our set play XG. So, yeah, we're doing quite well on that front as well. But, yeah, so I expect a set piece goal for Leicester in this game is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, 1-0 Leicester win from a Vestergaard header. That's
that would. It does. But yeah, so there's a lot of interesting things in that data for sure. And we've been reasonably strong when it comes to set play. However, our best set piece attacker, Pascal Strauch, isn't with us. So yeah,
he's still alive.
It would be nice. He is still alive. He's not dead. So if our other defenders can chip in with some goals. No, Ampadu scored a couple in the cup, but that's all. So if we could get some set piece goals, that'd be good. Joe Roden, I'm looking at you. He's too big to not score a header before long.
Yeah, I was thinking that when you were saying that then. Mm. Good stuff. So that's enough about Leicester. Before we move on to the Leeds analysis, I will do a quick plug for the Patreon.
A quick plug,
yeah. You can't get that on the Patreon, though. Stats and tactics and stuff like that. So Patreon is a media platform where you can support content creators you enjoy, and in return you get extra content. Our patrons can get access for as little as £1.99 per month, which gives you ad-free podcasts. And if you want to pay a little more, you can get other benefits, including early access to our preview pods, such as this one that you're listening to now, analysis articles, videos, and bonus podcasts. We have three tiers on offer on our Patreon, don't we, Martin? So can you tell us a bit more about them?
Yes, so we've got the Barada tier at $1.99, which basically gets you ad-free podcasts, and that's just basically there just to contribute even a little bit if you want to help us out. And then the middle tier is $3.99, and that is the click tier, and you get also ad-free podcasts with that, and also early access to preview pods where possible. We do try to give as much early access as we can, but sometimes when we've got a tight turnaround, it's maybe not as much. I believe this pod is quite a few days in advance, because we've got a bit more of a gap between games, so I think it's going to be about 3 days in advance, so decent. And then the Pablo tier gets you all of what the previous tiers gave you, as well as analysis articles and videos and bonus podcasts. So you could definitely get the most bang for your buck with the Pablo tier at $4.99. So yeah, we'd recommend that one.
And if people want to sign up, Martin, where do they need to go to?
That's at patreon.com/ASAW Patreon.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Let's move on to how Leeds might approach this game then. So on this first bullet point, it says injuries question mark, and then it says Dallas first, which is a bold one. But anyway, Dallas is probably injured.
Yeah.
Strauch, yes. Bamford, anyone else?
I think that's it. Yeah. I think that's all the injuries we've currently got at the moment. I know Bamford is back soon, but he's not ready for this game, I don't think. I think he's back for the game after, at least the league game after that, maybe not the Chelsea game, although I'm sure he would like to play against Chelsea, but I wouldn't expect him back for that one, so probably the week after. But yeah, Niles is most definitely injured, and I don't think we'll see him this season, unfortunately, for everyone who wants it to happen, and I do as well. I would love for him to get some games before his contract expires, but it doesn't seem likely.
He's probably more likely to play at Liam Cooper's testimonial, isn't he? Really?
Yes, he is.
And then Strauch is just out still, isn't he? I don't know if we have a timeline on that, but he's definitely not playing.
I think they said the next international break, which I think is towards the end of March. So yeah, we've got some time before the gorgeous pirate is back.
Yes, but I think it's the end of March because I only know that because they moved some League Two games today. That's the only reason I know that. Cool. So how do you think we'll approach this game in possession then, Martin?
I don't see us doing anything majorly different in possession. I think it'll still be the same sort of tactics we'll look to play. There may be some variation depending on who starts and where, so what we do with certain individuals, but the overriding parts will still be there. We'll still look to possess the ball where we can, and we'll still look to get the ball to Georgie and Somerville and Monto. If he's playing, it could be James, who knows. But yeah, we will largely look to do the same sort of thing, which we always do. And I don't see that changing for any opponents, especially not at Elland Road. We're going to want to be the protagonist on this. We've turned Elland Road into a fortress. I believe Elland Road is the only stadium where the hosts have been unbeaten in all of England this season, possibly outside of England. I could be wrong on that.
I'm pretty sure City and Liverpool are undefeated, aren't they?
I'm not sure. I remember seeing something, unless maybe it was different worded. But yeah,
I think it might.
We definitely got one of the best.
I'm going to check. Yeah. Hang on, I'm going to check. Liverpool City have not lost, no.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe it's the tiers below the Championship then that I saw the stat from, possibly. But yeah, but it's not going to be anything different. We've got a strong record at Elland Road, and I would expect us to want to protect that and look to take the game to Leicester and do all the things that we love that we do this season.
Yeah, if anything, the way they approach the game should play into our hands a little bit with us potentially attacking them in transition, which is what we're best at, really, rather than trying to break teams down.
Yep, exactly.
So, yeah, I think Leicester's approach should probably dictate our approach somewhat, and it should play into our hands, fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm.
What about out of possession in this game then, Martin?
Well, that's the thing. The previous Leicester game was sort of one of our best out of possession performances of the season. That was the game that we were most worried about coming into it, because we'd had a few games where we weren't the best out of possession before that. I'm thinking of the Norwich game.
It was a proper turning point, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. And that was, I think, probably one of the first games where we did see the hybrid man-to-man approach, which Farker used. It's really interesting that he did that, because like we mentioned previously, we hadn't really seen that much from him in that sort of area before. So yeah, it worked very well. And I would expect we do similar in this game. So we'll look to have the hybrid approach, and just to make people aware what hybrid man-to-man approach is, it means you would have man-to-man elements in the forward phases of the pass. So players covering all different players in when the opponent are building up, and also when players need to receive and try to aid. But then when teams bypass forward press, the team would sort of settle into shape rather than man-to-man approach throughout, like we saw under Bielsa. So it's just like a mix between the man-to-man approach and zonal marking approaches. So yeah, I would expect it to be largely similar to that, and it could well be nearly the exact same personnel, minus Pascal Strauch and minus Dan James, because I'd expect Nonto to start with how good he's been recently. But that has potential to change. He may opt to bring in James for this game, but we'll talk about the lineups not too far away.
I have one. It's not really a way that Leeds will approach this game. It's just something out of possession that I want to keep an eye on, and it probably leans into the next question as well. So I'm going to ask that first, which was: is there a player you could see having a big impact on the outcome of this game from Leeds? And as always, this could be good or bad. Now, I don't have a specific player in mind, but with what you said about Dakar being able to drop in and then Dewsbury Hall going past him, I think there's two things obviously to keep an eye on there. It's who follows Dakar, depending on the side he's on. Because I guess Ampadu is probably the more, well, I don't know, it can vary which one's more proactive. It was very much a balance between Strauch and Rodon, but maybe you see that a bit more balance with Ampadu and Rodon. So I guess they're both comfortable pushing up to follow a player when they do that, but then the other one's going to be just careful at sweeping up, which is fine. I'm happy with them both doing that, but something to keep an eye on. And then who follows Dewsbury Hall? Because I don't know. I'm not as comfortable with this aspect of it, because I think Ampadu is probably the best at that in that position to follow a player when they make that run. Whereas maybe I don't trust Kamara or Gruev to do that as much. So I think that's something to keep an eye on. I guess then that's what your other centre-backs there to sweep up and do, isn't it? But it's just, I think that dynamic of the midfield and the defence is what I'm trying to get at here.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. It's going to be a delicate balancing act, and players will have to know who it is that they're meant to be responsible for in what parts of the phase. And if Thacker moves over to the right side, you'd expect Roden to be the one covering him. If he moves over to the other side, you'd expect it to be Ampadu who's covering him. So there's got to be very clear guidelines as to who's picking up who and when. Most important, especially since we don't do this sort of man-to-man approach all the time. Obviously, we've managed it very well in the previous game, but because we've already done it once, America may have some variation in the way he's looking to do this. So he may have changes which he makes to respond to this. I don't mean that full sweeping changes to the way he plays, but it's more who makes runs and where they could practice different rotations in training in the lead up to this. So there could be variations, and it could even be Dewsbury Hall, instead of making the central half space run, he could look to make more of a wide run. So then it could be more Archie Gray's responsibility or third post responsibility to patch that run when he's moving forward. So it's going to be interesting to see the way Maresca attempts this, and if he does stick to what has worked for him this season, or if he does try to surprise us with some different rotations with different players. So yeah, that's definitely an important part of it, who is covering who in those attacks.
I think I hadn't thought about Dewsbury Hall making the run sort of out wide, but I guess that would also open space for Leicester's wingers, which would also be quite terrifying. So yeah, that whole dynamic is definitely something to keep an eye on for this game. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone else that you could see having a big impact on this game from Leeds' perspective, Martin?
I've got to say my boy Rutter, because if he is playing in attacking midfield in this game, which isn't really certain at the moment, because in the last game against Plymouth, I think he started in attacking midfield, potentially. I remember seeing a pass map where he was quite deep in the first half, and then the second half it was more advanced. But I think there were a few rotations in this game, and I have not actually rewatched the Plymouth game because I wasn't on that review, which was quite novel for me. It was weird having a Monday after a Saturday game where I didn't have to rush watching the game after I finished work. So it was quite interesting, and I didn't enjoy it. I did not.
You probably watched Leeds against Plymouth more than any person in the country, though, Martin. So, outside of an analyst job, you've watched every game at least twice. So you've probably done enough this season.
That's fair. That's fair. I won't deny that. So yeah, I do think that there's definitely going to be interesting things with Georgie, no matter where he is. But I think he will be most effective at attacking midfield in this game, because probably the player who I would want to see him attacking most is Winks.
Yeah.
Because I think he's the least mobile out of their midfield and out of nearly all of their backline. Vestergaard is the other weak link. So if we can either get Rutter running either in deep to receive and then trying to turn and spin on Harry Winks, I don't think Winks will be able to cope with that. Or if he can do the same a bit further forward against Vestergaard, I guess that combination is going between him and Pri or him and Nonto. So we'll just need to try to work on Georgie and get him into the game as much as we can, because he wasn't at his most effective against them. Even I can admit that, and I love him. Probably his weakest performance that we've seen this season. And he got a goal and assist. that's just how special my boy is. That even when he's performing well, he still has those little moments where he can do something magic. And he did. Both the assist and the goal were very good assists and goals. The assist kind of looked like a bit of a hit and a hope, but sorry, you saw him looking over. He knew roughly where Nonto was, and he found him. So that's all you can say. But yeah, that's not what we're here to talk about. But
yeah,
Rutter is the main guy for me in this one, as well as Somerville and Nonto, because of how well both those two have been doing as well. So that trio for me.
Yeah, mine was probably Nonto as well. Not for any sort of particular reason. It's just I'm going on vibes on this one that I just think he will have a big impact on this game. I really should be showing more analysis there, but that's basically all I'm going on.
That's fine. Vibes is good.
Yeah, sometimes we can vibes it. Predicted lineup then, unchanged?
I would expect so. I think it's most likely to be unchanged. The only variation, which I don't think is that likely, is James coming into the side. The two who are most likely to come out, if that was to happen, would be either Nonto or a wild card choice here, Peru, coming out, James, and then having, no, not James up front, don't worry.
Yeah, for people, obviously, you can't see me, but I did pull a face then. The listeners can't see me, but I did pull quite a face.
Yeah, no, don't worry. I'm not advocating for James up front. We've seen that enough, and we don't want that. We want James where he is most effective, which is on the right wing.
Yeah, on the right wing. Yeah, yeah.
old habits. I'll let you off for that one, Talda. But yeah, I'd be interested to see whether Nonto could play a more central role. And that's one thing that we haven't really seen, but I do definitely think he's got the tools to be able to be effective in central spaces. He's got very good close control. He can quickly turn and beat a man and carry the ball past them. And I think he also makes good, intelligent runs. So he could either occupy the attacking midfield role or even as a striker. I think he started his career over in Switzerland. Yeah, Switzerland.
Yeah.
Playing a lot as a striker. And it's definitely something he has done before. It's been a while, but it's not something which he's not done before. So I don't think it will happen. I'm serious here. It's going to be an unchanged lineup, but it's just something I want to see more than what I expect that will happen.
Yeah, I'm not sold on Nonto as a striker. I was just saying, clear, we're not saying Nonto up front in this game, but we're saying just more generally about Nonto in central. I do quite like the idea of him as a centre mid. Centre attacking mid, like behind the striker.
Yeah, I prefer that. That's what I prefer.
I think, is it Tom Wilson in our group chat that's quite big on that? Or is it someone else? I can't remember. But yeah, I
think it was Twills.
Yeah, I really like the idea of that. Striker, I'm not sold on yet. Maybe as he progresses in his career, but not at the moment. But yeah, I think it's probably got to be Perreault. Unless it could be Joseph for variation, but I doubt that from the start.
No, I don't think so. Not for a big game like this.
Let's talk about this game a bit more generally then. So what do you expect watching this game of football will look like?
So there's going to be a big battle for possession. That's the thing which I see most. It is definitely going to be a big struggle for who's going to be the dominant side in this game. And both teams are going to be pressing in their own ways quite intensely to try to wrestle the ball back from the other. So it's going to be interesting to see which team does get the better of the other. Like I said before, in the previous fixture, 65% possession to Leicester and 35 to us. I don't expect it to be like that in this game. It's at Elland Road, and I don't think any team has had more possession than us at Elland Road this season.
We've played there the most, Martin, that's why.
Well, this is true, yeah. It's true. But the other teams who have come to Elland Road, there's been maybe a few teams who have got 48% possession. And that's the highest that a team's got. So there've been teams who have given us an even share. And a recent game against Swansea, actually, that one was one where they had 48% possession. Didn't do a right lot with it, but yeah, that one and the Norwich game. I think that was the away Norwich game where they had
quite a lot in the home game. Norwich, though, yeah,
yeah, they did, yeah. So, but there's only been like three or four games where it's been close to 50-50 at Elland Road, and most of the time we have been the dominant side by a good margin. So that part's going to be interesting, the possession battle. And Leicester will try to do what they want to do. We will try to do what we want to do. I'm really looking forward to this game. It's a very exciting game to watch, and I imagine the players will be very, very up for it, especially with Leicester losing recently. That'll definitely wet their lips in anticipation.
And as it stands, Southampton still losing. So I did say that we might be disappointed by the end of the podcast. There's still 15 minutes left in that game, but yeah. But I'll leave that one now. I'm very much agree on this one. I think it'll be a good game to watch. That'll definitely be. But yeah, it could be potentially quite open. I think it'll go in phases, to be honest. We'd get game areas. Times in the game where it'll be quite open, and then I think you might see one team sit in at different times, depending on the sort of, you'll see the both managers maybe doing little tweaks here and there just to get more dominance. I think that was quite a big feature in the first game, that the teams took it in turns to possess the ball for longer periods, and then there were periods where it was open. So I think we could see that again.
Yeah, I'd imagine a quite similar game to the previous one. I would expect that, but maybe with us having more of the ball than what Leicester did in the previous game.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I could have just said that. It would be like the last one. Final question as always then, Martin. So where do we think this game will be won or lost?
Well, I think both teams are going to be quite effective in possession, but I do think it's going to come down to whoever takes advantage of the transitional attacks that they get. I think that's going to be a big factor in this game. I think both teams are quite good at defending the box, especially. We've been very good, especially this year. This is going to be the biggest test that we've had this year from an out-of-possession standpoint. They're going to be a team who are going to really test our defence. No team has really put our defence under much pressure in this run that we've had. So it's going to be interesting to see if our defence can stand up to it. If it can, then we'll have to, if we can take advantage of the transitional attacks, which that will leave behind, then we should have a positive ending. But if Leicester are able to stop us scoring in those transitional attacks, and then we're left open to the same, and see if they can take advantage. So that's for me where it's going to be one or loss.
Yeah, I think it's probably a bit of a cop out of this, but I think it'll come down to individuals being, and like that's, I think, because there's so many good players in this game that it'll be individual moments will probably make the difference in this one. There's two good teams. They're both tactically good teams. So there will just be those moments where one will get on top of the other. Or like a chance will fall to like a Somerville or a Rutter, and they need to take the chance in that moment. And then it's also stuff like we said earlier, like a player following Dewsbury Hall, all it takes is one moment of not following Dewsbury Hall and he's scored. So yeah, I think this is more one where I think individuals will make the difference rather than the system being the winning the way that the game's won, because both teams are good and both teams have good systems.
Indeed. Yeah.
I feel like it's not an answer we give very often as well, which is quite nice for a bit of change. But I guess we don't have games like this in the Championship very often.
No, we certainly don't.
Good stuff. So that brings an end to the preview of the Leicester game. Just remind everyone where they can sign up for the Patreon, Martin.
It's patreon.com/ASAW Patreon.
Lovely stuff. So we will be back with a review of this game. I think we're going to try and do that on Sunday night because the game is on Friday, obviously. And then we're also planning to preview Chelsea on Monday. So keep an eye out for that one. But until then, I will say thank you to Martin.
And thank you as well.
No problem. And thank you everyone for listening. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.